¿Qué pasa?
Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome, Chair, after the long weekend and the honorable members and our guests from the Department of Housing, led by the DG, La Visita, National Treasury. Ms. Rita, you with a colleague?
We only have a parliamentary liaison
with the chair,
thank you.
You have Nico. He might be hiding himself somewhere. I don't see him. Oh, right in the corner there, that's why I don't see him. No, welcome. Well, thank you very much. And our colleagues from the portfolio committee. As we indicated last week, that all of us are colleagues. In this meeting is our meeting, so you will participate as usual. Just to the Department of Human Settlements and to other visitors, we're not starting from scratch. This is a continuation of a meeting that we had last week. So the purpose of this meeting was really to fill up on certain questions that we, due to time, we could not, the department could not respond to. It's not that the department was not in a position to respond to questions, but I think due to time frame. Because we had another department, Department of Economic Development. So we had to continue with another meeting and suspend this one. So we would really like to welcome you and thank you for coming back to continue for that meeting. There were issues that needed to be responded to. But I hear that the department has got a whole comprehensive presentation, including the entities that are there. I think that there were some questions that we wanted you to respond to, that you were supposed, of course, to respond to, amongst others. Is the issue of discrepancies around the adjustment. I think that some of the issues that were raised around the performance in the Free State, no? Where some certain resources were taken from Free State, some certain clarities that as the committee, as Parliament, we needed to get from you. But what I don't think that is the what I don't think that is not an issue today, but is something that as Parliament we will have to follow up. The concern that we raised that day was with respect to, for instance, the uptake at the fourth quarter. There seems to be a spike at the fourth quarter. So the issue that worries us as Parliament or concerns us as Parliament is whether this spike really translates into the actual housing delivery or whether site delivery on some of those issues. And I think there was a whole range of issues that we wanted to engage in with you around the there were questions around the housing and the site, service site delivery, those kind of things. So, but I don't know if Perez Chair, there's some request that you want to make before the department responds. Comrade Housing Chairperson.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and the Honorable Members and my children. Yeah, our guests from the department as well as other guests. Chairperson, I think we have covered the most of the issues that we outstanding, and there was an issue, just to add a few, there was an issue, a concern about the spending on the strategic relations and governance program, where there was a variance, a negative variance, and as well as there was an issue that was raised about Shira, because it seemed that there was a demand that Shira should receive an extra or additional amount because it has been created or established late on the financial year. And then there was a request on the explanation about this sanitation program. And again, I think that the members were concerned about the spending on the research component, because the members felt that it was very crucial, that more especially that the department was in a process of restructuring. So it was not tally that you are in a process of restructuring. Definitely you will need some skills and so on, but on the issue of research and because you need to do some food policy, so it means the research capacity had a challenge. And I think on the other issues that were raised, it was about the transfer or the shifting of funds from one province to another. I remember, I don't know whether there was a question to say, is it proper now that those shifting should be done and then finalized without being brought forward to our children, normally, because before they are brought forward to Parliament, because Parliament is one that approves the budget. So that was one of the questions that, although the department was pretty sure or adamant that they followed the relevant procedures. Mm-hmm. Yes, I think those are the issues, but I think the other members can also input, because there were other members there. And then there was that concern of the high spending on consultants. So the committee needed explanation. But the rest, some of them were responded to. But I think if members can add up. Thank you.
A lot of members are there. Some, do you want to add some of the questions that you think that were not needed to be responded to? the department, Honourable Obama.
Yes, I think our chairperson has covered it.
Okay, let's allow the Lands Department is having a presentation. We will allow the department and my colleague Honorable Tambo has raised a very important matter. You know that Ms. Rida, we really have to engage with. You know, she raised the issue of shifting of funds from one province to the other. We think that in the constitution, in legislation, there are guidelines in terms of how to deal with that. And sometimes the tendency is sometimes to forget where we started. But can I allow you, DG, to address the House, please?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members from the Appropriation
Committee. Sorry, DG. My understanding, you correct me, Ms. Arons, understanding is that this thing is not working. So, Honourable Members, I requested to use the hard copies of the presentation because there are challenges with our IT. Though this side of the table we have the benefit. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to thank you for having given us a chance of the department to come back today to reflect on some of the key issues that were raised in the previous meeting, and because of the nature of the questions and the analysis that was required, we couldn't do it on the day. We want to thank the Chair and the Honourable Members for the second opportunity. Chair, I hope that all members have the hard copies. We have made some few new emphasis on our presentation, which we'd like to take you through with my team, as we did in the previous meeting, Chair. We felt it necessary, as you have just indicated, Chair, that to reflect on some of the issues that are linked into the current legislation that our department is using as part of managing our governance in the manner in which we make certain decisions, and that constitutes your slide number 2, which our colleagues will speak to. You have also raised an issue, Chair, around the adjustments that we spoke about in the previous meeting, and would like to make specific reference to that, particularly in relation to rollovers, which forms our slide number 4 for today's meeting, and slide number 5 in terms of also amendments that have been approved using certain provisions of legislation. Chair, with your permission, we wouldn't like to bore you with all the detail that we do this time, but we'd like to zoom into the issues that you think are of paramount importance for you for this meeting to take cognizance on. We have also added, Chair, on slide 18, as per the request of the members, just a general information around the housing entities that are working with us as a department, particularly the funding that is provided to these entities. And you'll notice that deliberately we have excluded NHBRC because as a department we don't contribute financially to their existence, even though the Human Settlements Department remains a shareholder with that entity. So those 5 numbers are reflected there. So we'd like, Chair, as you have indicated, that we don't go through the full presentation as we did last time, but we just zoom in into key areas that relate to quite a number of questions that were raised by the Honourable Members, Chair. Having said that, Chair, the team remains. There are no new faces, so no surprises. I'll then hand over to the Acting CFO to take us through the new issues that we have brought about for your attention as per your request. Thank you, Chair.
We are in your hands, DG.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, DG. Thank you, Chair and members.
I'll start with slide number 2, which has in it and lists all the applicable legislation which we have to comply with in implementing our responsibility or mandate. I will not take time going through the various pieces of legislation. We have just put them in just to list them, to indicate that these are the some pieces of legislation which are applicable. And then I will move quickly to slide number 3, Chair.
Sorry, you just pretend that the portfolio committee that is familiar with this piece of legislation is not here. Just roughly to just to gloss over them so that also we are on par, you know.
The first one, Jay, is the constitution, of course, of the country. And then the second one is the Housing Act, Act number 107 of 1997. The third one, Chair, is the Housing Consumer Protection Measures Act of 1998, which is Act number 19 of 1998. The next one is the Housing Development Agency Act of 2008, which is a piece of legislation which established the institution called the HDA, the Housing Development Agency, which we deal with at the end of the presentation. Then the next one, Chair, is the PFMA, as we all know it, Act number 1 of 1999. Then the next one is the Social Housing Act of 2008, Chair, which provided for the establishment of the Social Housing Regulatory Authority, which we deal with at the end of the presentation. Then the next one, Chair, is Division of Revenue Act, which deals with the management of the grant as it is being transferred to the provinces, which also guides us in terms of the allocations and the reallocations of monies to provinces and between provinces. And then the Rental Housing Act of 1999. And the last one, Chair, on the slide is the Home Loan and Mortgage Disclosure Act of 2000. On slide number 3, Chair, we have, it's the still the same slide as we presented previously, showing the allocation, the original allocation of the department for 2010-2011 at 16.2 billion with an adjustment of 92.2 million and showing an adjusted allocation of 16.291 million. What we have added, Chair, on the next slide, which is slide number 4, are details of the adjustments. And the very first bullet, Chair, talks to the rollover amounting to 82.6 million, which is part of the adjustment, which was approved by Treasury, and it splits the amount of 82.678 billion by programs in the department. Under program 1, we had 7.1 million, which is made up of two figures. The first one being 1.9 million, which was a request for a rollover in respect of renewing Microsoft licenses, which could not be paid, unfortunately, in that financial year. And then the next amount is 5.2 million for the procurement of a server, which was delayed as it had to be imported. And that those two figures should make up the 7.1 million under Program 1. Under Program 2, we had an amount of 1.2 million, which was an outstanding payment on that particular tender, and that tender dealt with impact evaluation study of the upgrading of informal settlement program.
The amount is 1.2 again, Chair. Under Program 4, Chair, there was a rollover request for 34.9 million. And this amount is in respect of a transfer payment to the Social Housing Regulatory Authority. And that amount could not be transferred to the institution, we were still going through a process of establishing the institution and applying to Treasury for the approval for the opening of a bank account for that institution. And we also had to make sure that they have systems in place before money could be transferred. And under Program 5, Chair, we had 7.7 million. And that amount is in respect of various tenders which were running at the end of the financial year. One was for the closure of the Delisha home. The other one was the other two were for the establishment of the Social Housing Regulatory Authority. And then the last one was for the determination of the institutional arrangement for human settlement development finance institution. And that issue, Chair, is work which is also still currently being done, whereby the department is intending looking at all the institutions and see and finding a way of consolidating them into a DFI. The second issue, Chair, is in it is indicated at the bottom of slide 4, and it is in respect of a rollover which was for sanitation, which previously was with Water Affairs. That amount was 31.5 million. It was for a program called ASIP, which was implemented by Water Affairs. On the second slide, on the next slide, Chair, we also talked to the adjustments which were made after the adjustment estimate. And the first item on that slide is an amount of 27 million, which was required to fund the SIU work on the national audit. And the SIU is involved in doing investigations throughout the provinces on the housing program. The next item, Chair, is a 14.4 million, which was needed to fund the appointment of service provider to develop and implement the turnaround strategy, which the department is currently still undergoing. There was also, Chair, a 34 million environment which was requested from Treasury as well, which was intended to assist CEFCON in their attempts to close CEFCON down. CEFCON is one of the public entities of the institution of the department, and we are in the process of closing it down. The challenge with them is that they have we had to ensure that liabilities are paid so that the institution can be closed down. And for them to settle their liabilities, they were faced with a situation where they had to sell pieces of land which would be needed for human settlement development. So the department then decided that rather than letting them sell those pieces of land and then get them back again for human settlement development, we gathered feelings. We approached Treasury to get an environment for 34 million as well as 7.6 million so that we can assist in settling those debts. That, Chair, comes to the end of slide number 5. Slide number 6, Chair, is still the same slide giving the MTF allocation, but what we have done is that we have taken off the prior year allocation for the MIG for cities and left the urban settlement development grant starting in the current financial year with 6.266 billion. And nothing has changed on that slide. And then, Chair, I will not go through the other slides which we went through last time, and because they are the same slides, I would take the committee to the last part of the presentation, which deals with public entities, which is slide number 18. This part of the slide looks into the public entities under the department, and it starts with the National Urban Reconstruction and Housing Agency, which is called NURTURE, which was established in 1995 as an agency to provide finance for construction of projects, particularly to small building contractors. The next slide, Chair, talks to two public entities, the National Home Builders Registration Council, the NHBRC, which was established in terms of the Housing Consumer Protection Act of 1998 to represent the interest of the housing consumers and to regulate the home building environment by promoting innovative home building technologies, setting home building standards, and improving the capabilities of home builders. That institution, Chair, plays an important role in ensuring quality of the product being delivered. It also ensures intended to protect the housing consumers by ensuring that they get a better product. The second bullet, Chair, talks to the National Housing Finance Corporation, which is mandated to make housing finance accessible to affordable and low-income households. And it is also responsible for mobilizing and raising private sector funding for the sector. The next public entity, Chair, is called RALF, Rural Household Loan Fund. It is mandated to provide access to housing credit to low-income rural households to support government's effort to expedite housing delivery. The next one, Chair, is the HDA, which is the Housing Development Agency, which is mandated to identify, acquire, hold, develop, and release state and privately owned land for residential and community purposes and for the creation of sustainable human settlements. The last one, Chair, is the Social Housing Regulatory Authority, which is called the SHRA, established in terms of the Social Housing Act of 2008, it provides for the establishment of the Social Housing Regulator, and it regulates the affairs of the social housing institutions, and it also was intended to stimulate the supply of social housing stock through Social Housing Investment Program. And the last slide, Chair, gives an indication of what was allocated and what was transferred to those public entities. You will notice, Chair, that for the Social Housing Foundation, maybe I should start with NHSC, and it was just 1,000 rand, and then And then for the Social Housing Foundation, we budgeted for 6.6 million and the whole amount was transferred to them. And the Social Housing Regulatory Authority, the Rural Household Infra and Loan Fund, the Housing Development Agency, and the CESCOD. You will notice here that there is a variance of 7.6 million in respect of CESCOD, and that was in respect of a request for a variance which Treasury approved, unfortunately, late in the financial year, and that amount could not be transferred to that entity. We requested a rollover for the current financial year, and we hope that the National Treasury will approve the rollover. That chair comes and concludes the actual presentation. I must indicate, Chair, in addition to that, that the department is undergoing a process of restructuring at the moment, a process which we call strategy determination, and that has impacted on our expenditure on compensation of employees. Because we are going through that process, and a decision was taken that we need to delay appointment in some positions, because you don't want to appoint people on positions and then later on discover that you should not have appointed them. And that has impacted on our compensation of employees and expenditure. I will allow colleagues to add on what I have covered. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. There are some other points of emphasis, Chair, that I think we would like to respond to, and I will further request that maybe Treasury as well make some input, particularly with regard to the issue of transfer of fund or shift of funds, as the Chair has indicated. I think it will be prudent that some perspective around that process, because this matter has been raised quite often in the previous meeting, that some perspective is provided. Suffice to say from our side that we have used DORA to do the exercise as a department in terms of the powers that are given by the minister in terms of engaging with the relevant MECs in the case or in the event there's an underspending that is analyzed before the end of the financial year. As I've explained it as well, Chair, in the previous meeting, that we did an analysis. And linked into it is also the issue of spike that has been seen in the last quarter of the financial year. I think, Chair, I must also indicate that different provinces, as you would have seen, that there was an increase in the last quarter, which has become a common practice in government generally. But as a department, what we did on the third quarter, we emphasize to the provinces to provide us with recovery plans of how they'll be spending the money, and also to provide assistance where we can to make sure that the money is spent for what is intended to. I'm sure that has contributed to that. But also the provinces that have received the money had to put their own plans in terms of dealing with the transfer that has been given to them, based on the business plans that we received from those provinces. So that's one reason why then in our financial year the fourth quarter had that kind of thing. But I must also indicate, Chair, that we are not in a position to then get into the detail of how the monies have been spent in terms by respective provinces. But in terms of the recovery plans that we have received, we monitor them. Even the provinces, Chair, that the monies were not transferred to, some of them were not spending as per the normal spend, and they did provide the business plans and the recovery plans of how they will do so. And then the other issue, Chair, with relation to spending on strategic relations, and Funane will deal with that. The Chair from Portfolio Committee raised the issue around the research as a critical area of operation for the department.
Research and monitoring.
Research and monitoring, yes. I think, Chair, it's appropriate to also indicate that in terms of our turnaround strategy that the acting CFO has made reference to, part of the exercise in particular is to develop sufficient capacity in terms of our research as a very important area of operation. But over and above that is to also locate research where it could be effectively utilized for the benefit of the department. That also includes monitoring and evaluation, Chair. You will recall that previously at the Portfolio Committee I've made reference to the establishment of the PMU, and part of that exercise is to incapacitate the department to be fully empowered to exercise its own oversight responsibility administratively to all provinces throughout the country, and link the existence of the new PMU that we are also proposing in the turnaround strategy process into other provinces. And it's meant to make sure that monitoring is built up using different elements, including the IT, that could be able to assist us to exercise effective monitoring and assist the minister as well as the portfolio committee when it's doing its own work to know exactly where there's few areas that you may like to take cognizance of as you do your monitoring. So we are reviewing that, and the new structure that is being worked out currently based on the strategy process that has been taking place will also zoom in into those issues and ensure that it's located. But we decided, because this financial year was running fast, to make sure that we bring somebody on board to start working effectively on this assignment for the department and for the sector as a whole, which is currently happening. And that takes cognizance of the research component and the monitoring component in particular, whilst we continue with the old arrangement to make sure that we don't lose sight of what is happening on the ground. And I'm sure that that will also assist the committee, in particular the portfolio committee, in its own oversight responsibility on the ground. So I just wanted to make the emphasis on that. Then the acting CFO also touched on the issue of sanitation. I know I've shared this information mainly with the portfolio committee about the reason for underspending, but we have not had sufficient time to share the same information with the committee on appropriations. But the acting CFO reflected that when this function was transferred to the department, it was for the first time that we had to implement this program as the Department of Human Settlements. In the past, this was a function performed by the Department of Water Affairs. And to some degree, the arrangement of how this was managed from Water Affairs and how it should be managed from Human Settlements was not necessarily the same. And we decided to adopt an approach that is governed by the PFMA regulation in terms of how to procure for services and goods. And that contributed to underspending, because the process that the program manager in charge and from the practice which was done by Water Affairs was that of using various regulations that exist within their own procurement regime. We decided to follow a different route Unfortunately, we started in May, and already we have lost a period of about 3 months, and we had to start that process a little bit later by engaging on our normal procurement regime using PFMA to determine the appointment of the service providers for the implementation of this particular program. And that contributed to underspending that is reflected, as the acting CFO has indicated, in terms of that. The process took about 4 to 5 months to complete, and that affected the spending on the program. So that was a transition that we're in, and we are trying to improve on the management of the new function and to get a better perspective on its underlying objective at the moment, as it were. So I wanted just to make those points of emphasis, Chair, as presented by the acting CFO, and also as per the reflection that came from the members. I would like to hand over maybe to Funai to deal with the issue around the spending on strategic relations and trial issue. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair and Honourable Chair and Honourable Madam Chair and Members. I think it's fair to indicate to members at the same time that we as a department had implemented cost-saving measures across the department, but in particular and in response directly to the strategic relations and governance. We had a challenge with FITA having terminated the contract with the department in terms of assisting the provinces related to the HSS, which is the housing subsidy system. Now, that challenge actually brought us not to spend at that point in time. But however, we had to indicate that we had to apply some bids to renew the contract. And the problem at the same time on that issue was that we could not get the bids that we wanted that could actually serve the purpose of the intended intention and objective of the contract on its own. And what we had to do on that particular point, just so that the process goes on and the work gets done, we had to have sort of a temporary agreement with CETA to process or to go further with the department in terms of the contract with CETA. However, as I indicated, that the issue of the curtailment of savings and implementation of cost savings measures has actually led to the cost savings, to the reduction of foreign visits, as well as the media campaign that the department had. So that has actually contributed to the reduction in terms of our spending, in terms of our transport and subsistence allowances. So we could not actually made some claims as far as the foreign visits are concerned. But in addition, particularly on the very same program, Chairperson, it's the fact that we could not actually finalize, as the DD and the acting CFO have always indicated, the turnaround strategy. So a further amount needed to be rolled over, as we indicated that it was requested for rollover, particularly for the turnaround strategy, because it was not completed at the intended time for the financial year and this first month. On the issue of SHRA, Chairperson, I think it's also worth mentioning for that or emphasis that although there was sort of a pronouncement in 2008, as well as the announcement or proclamation of the Act on its own, we could not finalize the establishment of the institutions at that time because of the fact that the council could not be appointed. But we had to have some plan in place, and the budget was developed. And then it only got to be implemented just after the appointment of the council in September 2010. That's why there was sort of a delay in terms of the establishment of the SHRA, although the processes were in place, but they took longer than we expected. However, we as a department and the department as well as the authority on its own, which is the Social Housing Regulatory Authority, it actually assessed the funding together with the rental units that needed to be on the ground. We came up with a strategy of applying an additional money to rental units in this financial year as part of the strategy to undertake and solve the problem. we had actually given the social rental, the rental money in terms of the budget for this financial year specifically to address the issue and fast track delivery on the social rental unit. And I think DG.
So I think that takes care of some of the responses. I'm sure maybe Treasury may like to add more meat in terms of what you have
to say. You didn't invite Treasury here.
We work with the on some of these issues. But I think from our side, Chair, I think that's the response that we'd like to provide to members as per the questions raised and comments made in the previous and current meeting. Thank you, Chair.
Well, thank you very much, honorable members. There you are.
So it looks like we are not done. My apologies. The Free State issue is raised as an isolated issue. I've raised it as a collective issue in terms of the transfer. I'm not sure if there's more emphasis you'd like us to provide on that in terms of the delivery component as been raised in that context.
No, we are in your hands for now.
Thanks, DG. Chair, I think the one point which the DG raised, and it's around the question of the turnaround strategy, and I'll just align that to the provinces. And one of the issues around that, why the department, and I think why it's important for us to implement the turnaround strategy, is the fact that the department is a new department in effect, in the sense that we were housing and we've now moved to human settlements development. And that fundamental principle change in terms of the mandate and the scope was not incorporated into the department. So the department's work was as usual, you know, it was business as usual, because the human settlement development mandate covers a bigger scope. The net result of that is that the provinces themselves continue to operate in the business as usual way. So from a political point of view, there's a substantial amount of criticism that we're still not delivering sustainable human settlement. And what happens is that you'll find that the provinces are focusing particularly on sites and services, whereas the holistic approach, and that's an issue that we've taken up with Treasury in terms of how do we redefine our grants, how to ensure that all those aspects related to human settlements development is covered. The other point was that there's been an increasing responsibility placed, particularly by the portfolio committee, by the minister, and by cabinet, on the national department to, for want of a better word, take charge, particularly in relation to monitoring, evaluation, and the value for money. And that you'll see that behavioral change that we're trying to achieve, particularly. So, for example, yes, there are some very robust discussions and a holding of accountability that the department's now taking, particularly in the provinces not meeting their targets. So the office of the DG takes a very, very strong line on a monthly basis around, you've transferred this money, what are the outcomes, what are the performance outcomes and activities that you've achieved. So that's something that's filtering, and we haven't achieved a status of satisfaction, but I think once the turnaround strategy takes full effect, you will see better performance, particularly in relation to what the outcomes wants to achieve, or what the department outcomes is required.
Your time, teacher.
Thank you, Chair. That was the last comment.
Okay, thank you very much. Honorable members, Honorable Karen Blom, Honorable Stein, Honorable Comer.
Thank you, Chair. I want to move to. I want to move to slide. Xiaoxing delivery, that is, I think, slide 17. And then the other one is the sites. I think there's 22,000 sites that's targeted that are not reached. But to come back to slide 17, houses completed. So, according to your target, am I right? The target was 144. So there's, say, 23,000 on the bridge. That's number 17, slide number, housing delivery. You guys want to find out if I'm right there? And the thing with the sites, there are 22,000 sites that is then not reached. Am I right? Plus minus.
No.
Where?
No, what is saying on this on this page of housing delivery, what is saying, from my understanding, is that it's saying on that column of housing targets, the total that they were targeting in 2010-2011 was 144,000 units. That's correct. Based on the sites, 69,000. Services side, 63,000, and sure. So, and now, what is the question? Can you continue with the question?
Chair, my question is, what are, if you look at this, then in the Eastern Cape, there's about 12,000. No, am I right? So, what did we do in this? Yeah.
It's 121.
No, Eastern Cape.
Western Cape, okay.
No, Eastern Cape, 12,000.
Oh, okay.
It's not both. And then also in the Gauteng provinces, the target was 33 and 25. Mm-hmm. And then also in the Western Cape, 3,000 was not both. My question is, what processes are in place to address these issues urgently? Of course, at the end of the day, I think you have 22 sites. If I look at the stats, that's here. Sites that's available, or sites, I think there's 22 open sites, 22,000. My question is, because the need are in the Eastern Cape, what did the department do now to address this issue urgently? Because we have a tremendous need there, and the poverty is very high there, and the people is in tremendous need for houses in this area. So my question is, is that a priority to assist the people there, or how are you going to address this issue? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank
you, Chairperson. I just want to carry over on the question that's been asked, and I asked it last week. And besides the fact about what is going to be done to sort of reach those targets, I have to reiterate the question I had last week, Chairperson, that although the targets have not been reached, the irony is that the budgets have been spent. So it brings me back to this planning stage where perhaps targets are not linked to available money. Because it's one thing to ask what is going to be put in place to reach those targets, but like I say, the fact is that the budget for that particular year has been spent without those targets having been reached. But having said that, Chair, there's a lot of questions that I'm actually going to leave for when the department appears before us, because they're more of an implementation issue, nature. What I do want to ask, however, that relates to this committee in terms of finances, is the rollovers. Now, I'm a little bit surprised that entities like Tbilisi and Servcon still feature in terms of rollovers, particularly Servcon. Servcon, I mean, we must have started the closing down process 4 or 5 years ago. I understand that it has come up again and again in terms of the tax liability. But if one puts that aside, then I'm still not sure what we need another
And I think the acting financial officer tried to explain in terms of available land. Now, the Servcon was actually doing very well and they had lots of properties on their books. So it's something that we're going to have to take up with the department in terms of liabilities. They should not have been in a situation where they had liabilities. Their assets should have exceeded their liabilities, but it's something I will take up within our committee.
Sorry, excuse me, that's another thing to interrupt you. Do I understand your question to be saying, what is it that would be required? How much money would be required to totally close Servcon so that next year we don't talk about Servcon again?
We have,
I know that you're not saying that but exactly, but we have raised this question so that we know that next year we don't talk about these outstanding things again coming. It's just maybe it's like an addition to your question, is to say exactly what is it now other than this one that would still be outstanding.
Well, it's interesting that you raise it because I think, you know, a year ago or so when we were sitting, not like this, but we certainly thought that it was something of the past because there's money available every year for these entities and it just doesn't seem to get to an end. And the same thing goes for Tbilisi. So I don't understand then in the same context why there needs to be a rollover. What has happened during the last financial year that we have actually not dealt with closing them down and we now need to roll over money for that? Then perhaps this is just I'm hoping that the wording is incorrect, and I'm looking at slide number 4, that last paragraph, the 31.5 million above the sanitation. That according to the way it's written here, it says that expenditure was not provided for within the department. As far as I know, the 31.5 million was not spent. It was provided for, but it wasn't spent. So it's a direct contradiction to what is being written here. So I actually don't understand. Do I understand then that there's another 31.5 million that was not provided for? Or is this in fact just a mistake? Chairperson, and like I said, there's a number of other questions, but I think they're more of an operational nature, except to say similarly with the turnaround strategy. The ease of concern, pretty much like Tbilisi and Servcon, that's been dragging on for the best part of 3 years. Now we'll probably come to the end of this term and they will still be talking about the turnaround strategy that needs to be implemented, and it's something that I think we as a committee need to take up with the department. We need to find out exactly where we are. I'm quite surprised to see that there's some 14 million yet for that tender that's been rolled over once again. So we need to, as a committee, find out what the status is. Has that strategy, the actual planning of it, been completed? Has it been adopted by the department? And then what the implementation stage is. Perhaps, Chairperson, they need to give us some sort of timeline as to by when it will be implemented. Because, you know, we can't carry on for 3, 4, 5 years busy with a turnaround strategy while, in this case, not Rome and not England, but South Africa, really, in terms of our suburbs out there, are burning. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Sen. Honorable Bonner.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the first thing we need to acknowledge is the challenges that are faced in this department. And I want to say that in the case of the rollovers in particular, whilst that's happening, it means that there's a backup in service delivery. Of great concern, of course, is the vacancy thing. So, you know, that is of concern. I think, and when we come to the housing delivery figures, it is of concern that we don't reach our targets, and it's because of a lack of capacity and assistance, you know, of municipalities on the ground as well. And we see a total breakdown in communication between our various spheres of government. But I think also these figures that we get presented with are a bit confusing. They're not clear. I see, for example, 100% spend in KwaZulu-Natal. But KwaZulu-Natal lost some 200 million rand Now, where is that? You know, that can't be 100% spent. So, you know, perhaps if we could just have an explanation about that. I think I've covered, and my questions also would be directed at our own meetings.
Another comment. I think on the page 17, the one that Honorable Karakom was talking about, was when it completed 20,000.991. I don't know, but I'm just raising, just making it so that part of the response could just clarify what this means exactly. No, you may continue.
Let me explain. I'm referring to the expenditure of the development grant on slide number 14. So you've got the discrepancies. I think that's what we're saying. Yeah. You know, these figures, they just don't correspond when you try to tie them back to something. And let me say, you know, just a week ago or so, 2 weeks, I don't know, we were travelling in Mpumalanga, and the longer we delay to give people service on the ground, it was freezing cold there, absolutely freezing cold. And you know, we said to each other, for goodness sake, can you imagine just how cold it is for these people who are, and you know, we are delaying things all the time. So I think that is a really great concern. Since 2009, when this current, and I was on the committee straight away, we've been hearing about these turnaround strategies, and the DG knows. You know, we've just got to move a bit faster and a bit better in the delivery on that. Think of the people, you know, who've got to be on the receiving end.
Comrade Mashiko.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question is also on slide number 4 on program number 1, the two amounts, because if you are having to delay the licenses and that takes so late, what was happening for the money to be rolled over, and then because licenses were not paid, maybe I don't understand what's happening. And this 5.2 million that had to wait for a server to be imported, can't you be more innovative and save some money somehow and get locally produced stuff than wait for the whole year and roll over for something that had to be imported? And my question on this 1.5 million, I had highlighted it, but is now addressed. And the program number 5, the first program was good because the money was broken down. Number 5, this 7.7 million, I wish we could understand what was happening and how much was spent on what and for what good reason, because we do understand that there was this 7.7 million and when you asked for it, I think you had broken it down. And this is also where National Treasury also comes in, because we know that there's a certain percentage that on rollovers, firemen's and all this stuff, but I think our indulgence as a portfolio committee, as a committee on standing on appropriations, will be very much happy to be approached by either department, so that we don't come and sit here and wonder why money was rolled over or fired about or whatever, when we know that money was there to be used for this, and then somewhere there's another set line where some things are done and we don't know, and at the end of the day we are the ones to stand to them there and give a report on why that money was
was fired and have to justify what we were not consulted about, because really, if we do proper planning, there won't be a need for all this rollovers, firemen's and other things. That really concern us, and National Treasury knows that we are very much concerned about those issues, and we always ask them, why is it done? Because sometimes we feel that it's not supposed to be done. And when we go to page 6, let's see, I wish I could understand, because under urban settlement development grant, it was explained that that amount for this 2010-2011 was not there, but I don't understand how, maybe it's my lack of understanding, because there was that amount here, and in the previous presentation, and I wish I understood how it disappeared in this presentation, because I really don't understand how it disappeared. And then coming to entities, the very first one, National Urban Reconstruction, is here, but where you give us amounts is not there. Was it not supposed to be budgeted for here with this, all these other entities that are being budgeted for? And the issue of self-court now, I try to understand, because I did not understand when they were talking about it. But this National Urban Reconstruction, I wish it had appeared there if maybe it had a budget. Thank you.
I think let me explain this USTG. I am not trying to defend them, but I just want to clarify with you. In 2010-11, there was no USDG. This allocation was for 2011-2012. But what we could read from them, they took the figures that they allocated previously.
Sorry, Chair. I just want to follow as well. You say there was no allocation in 2010-2011.
No, 2010-11. No, yes, 2010-11. This grant is a new grant.
Which grant are we talking about now?
USDG.
Urban Settlement Development Grant.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It has been allocated during the 2011-12 financial year. But what they did in the last meeting, they put figures that were, they brought figures from COPTA, the allocation that was done by COPTA under MIG. Then that was the issue that we were querying, that to say, we wouldn't wish to see this figure here, because it's going to confuse us. You can't benchmark by something that was not in your coffer. So I just wanted to clarify that. So we are going to, after when they bring a quarterly report, this first quarter or second quarter, maybe before we go to the RRR, so they will account for this USDG properly. But I wanted to clarify that. Coming to my concerns now, I'm very much concerned, DG, on this the slide on Human Settlements Development Grant. That was the question that I asked last time. How come if the state budget and then they spend 100% as the diagnostic 6%? I don't know what does that mean. I don't know. But
figure which we made it on. Man, about 6 rand now.
What slide did that come?
I don't know, it's just right. And at the same time, they spend 100%. And then when you look at the fourth quarter delivery performance, you will find that the first date is spending 312%. So I fail to understand. And then when we go to the total expenditure, I mean this deliver the funnel unit in down man Abana get 5 units and then okay man. Then if we state that we need to target sizes of 13,000 and they did not deliver. Not even a single one. And then they also targeted 5,000 housing units. Then they completed 5,136. Yeah. Now, which means without divisor la 5, nala 5, la 13, nala 5, it targeted will be 18. Is that right, ne? This is Zabar. Okay. Target tab of 18,000 and then they only delivered 5,136. Yet they spent the whole amount and the percentage of 132. And then in our understanding, we do understand what if we think during the time Ninemin and then we announced into Kubana, Kaden been evaluated, the third quarter. Then, once the first stage is voting is with Tatimal, and then there was a spike, I spent the Yonki Mali, the winners I Tatanina. Me shifted it to another province. In any time, the upper woman and the funeral open. Nina, you defend, you protect other officials. Because in the clear, the funeral is practiced with Queen's Kani up. Because once Nina and the funeral woman is our defender, at the end of the day, you are the accounting officer. Who was our chap? The province. So the sequel colors. Abazucha ababantu uzabona ukuthetha amaqiniso because at the end of the day you are the accountable officer ufela izono zabo bonke ababantu umsebenzi wabo kukumosha kodwa nasokuthiwa kuyathiwa noma bona at the end of the day bangabotshwa but oyena mntu ozakaqale ayotsha kuqala nguwe uyawuthi ukuzikhulula kodwa ubuka wawuvumulile ukuthi unjani so so, they phone them. My people put, I'm spending 312% under these conditions. This is reason. Make the understanding here too, I say this rash. So, say then you see, understand what, another test and the funder is in the first date. Then, time is automatically, will be able to understand. Then coming to it's like the secondary adjustments after adjustment estimates. $14.4 million, which was needed to fund the appointment of service providers to develop and implement the turnaround strategy. You know, up and in a challenge. I'm sure young and consultants, they don't have an interest to assist government. The interest there is to draw the money from government. Why I'm raising this in this context? The department, Scalibo 2009 07, the new term. Yeah, term. Sometimes I turn around strategy that I'm gay. aphele unyaka ngoku turnaround strategy ama consultants abi last year besinani e-Gauteng e-Pretoria. This was the issue that was on table. And we were given assurance of what really our bantu sebe khona. So we expected what they started already. I don't think when the turnaround strategy of it, in other words, it's not about this specialist.
Mm.
Can take a year or 18 months.
5 years.
This is unbelievable. It means they are not prepared to assist the department. In the other words, there was a thing that you will keep on. That's what I'm worried about. The turnaround strategy, I got to be correct now. And the leader running a turnaround strategy is affecting the department in a manner that the capacity is. Because what we are going to do when we are going to double pack, when I will tell the PMU, if it's double layer song, it's going to affect the budget here. Because into this PMU, we don't expect you, I want to the first, you know, I'm going to add the cartel, yes, the cartel warms in. But I think we're not very fresh. We have a workshop, come minister, on to a lead. I want to have a meeting with you, no. A minister, on to a lead. Even if we're going to have a meeting with you, I'm going to have a meeting with you. I'm going to have a meeting with you. Because I am saying that we are going to have a program of double pack. We are going to appoint among others personnel with PMU as the skills that are required. We will send a manual and tobacco up, about tobacco monitoring and information of our team. And then we will have a manual of facts and also our instructors. And that thing is going to impact the budget of your employees. You know, it. So I'm trying to say, I am not sure. Quite happy about this thing here, the turnaround strategy. Then from the presentation here, two assessment estimates, I don't know whether you were permitted by his stake program 3, up to 26 million. According to this booklet, the ENE, there's 26 million. Yeah. So I don't know whether that was a mistake, but you can touch on it. The last point is on this AC. As we that all the settlers are we were in Malawi. This is my man and my sister's daughter. We were in Malang, and they were members from your office. And then they talked ASIP, and then I said, talk to me. I've never heard of that program. This ASIP, I've been interacting with the department. What is that? But yeah, it doesn't matter. I think we are going to discuss that, and you are going to give us an explanation whether in our meeting. But what I want to check from this sanitation, you presented that a 100 million grant was provided, but in terms of expenditure, you know, even if you don't get into deep details, but you should have indicated what how much was, because for the purpose of this meeting. Otherwise, other issues, we are going to discuss them there. Ekaya, this is
finished.
No. That is not the purpose of that. But we wanted, at least they must clarify, it must give this committee. is that that we're going to hide? Because at the end of the day, Parliament has got this platform that we have to discuss this thing. When we have finalized them with the department, we can share that information with you and put you to the pick what recommendations have we done, so that you make a follow up from us to what I would do. So there's nothing that you can hide to you. But it is important that you get the clear picture. But out of that 100 million that was allocated, how much was spent by and then yes, and then the reasons why they did not spend. I think so. It is crucial for this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Comrade Chairperson. The DG is itching to respond. Now you will respond. You know, I just want honored members, I think there's another document that the department distributed. This document is titled Background and Discussion. It's your document, eh? Yeah, I think that there's a lot of information, including the provinces. It's a very good, what we call a document. Mm. However, DG, I think I'll come to the point that I don't know whether it's Shepherdson or other colleagues who raised it. You know, I think it's huge, the issue of this monitoring and evaluation. I think it's an area really where you were supposed to be strong, if I could have your attention. I think it's an area where you really have to be strong on monitoring. Because now I just sent out one of the researchers to get me the division of revenue, so that we could understand what are the conditions. Because when you transfer, you don't just give and say, province A, okay, here's money, and then you can run with it. We will meet you at the end of the year or whenever. There are conditions laid down in the division of revenue, very clear conditions, because it's a conditional grant, as it is called. So clearly, the responsibility still lies with the division of revenue speaks about the national transferring officer, so that you monitor, should you transfer the money, should you withhold, when do you withhold, when do you transfer, when do you decide to stop it all over. So, and in terms of your programs here, this is your weakest, what you call the area, the monitoring and evaluation. It cannot be. I agree with my the chairperson. Consultants, I think that there must be very happy people that this government is there and they can milk up as much as they like. You know, but some of the things are very obvious to us, but this is where you just need to ensure that you build capacity so that you can be able to deal with it. I think that one other capacity that you need to build is in your finance department there, so that those conditions can be very clear at DG in terms of what are these conditions of transference. And because you say in your own words that you're not strong there, but we think that that's where you need to be strong, to be able to deal with the questions that are being raised. That, for instance, a province like Free State has got this target of whether it's sites, whether it's houses. In terms of delivering of houses, they came close because it was 5,000. But with the sites that they intended is very far. And the department can say that, well, it's the responsibility of the province. It has nothing to do with us. The Division of Revenue puts the responsibility still with the National Department, because you must monitor this money when it is transferred. But, Comrade Chair, I think that with the issue that you were raising about the adjustment, which was raised, DG, if you remember, last time I raised it as well in the introduction, I thought that somebody would attend to it. It's not been attended to it. To me, it's just like a cut and paste kind of, what you call it, a presentation, because the document says 82 million. But if you add up these figures together, will they make the 82 million that was asked as a rollover? They will not, because they have omitted the 26, what we call the 26 million. And if you say, for instance, to us in your presentation, the 31, what you call the presentation says in addition, I assume this says over and above 31.5 million what was outstanding. If you take that this 31 million outside, you will not get this 82 million. But there's also what you call the 26 million that my colleague was referring to. So I think that it's important that we ensure that we these figures we do them together. But the now we have commented. I think that the colleagues have raised what you call it, the number of issues that we would have liked them to raise. Maybe you can respond, DG. Sure.
Thank you, Chair, for another round of positive, interesting questions and comments, and we accept those comments. Some of them obviously are food for thought for us to the department in terms of what we need to do moving forward. Chair, I would like to deal specifically maybe with two issues and some of the issues my colleagues will respond. The issue around the turnaround strategy, Chair, I think let me just indicate that it's true that the Department of Human Settlements started in 2009 as per the announcement of the President, but the process of building a turnaround strategy only started last year upon myself joining the department, which I did in May, the 1st of May, and I did not just start it as I joined. I had to go through a process of understanding the department in terms of its historical perspective and the challenges, and then find a way of how to align the then housing mandate and the new human settlements mandate, and then start the process. I do accept the criticism that has been laid in terms of the process that has been taken to be slightly longer. It's possible that before I joined, they might have another attempt to do the same. I'm not by all means contradicting that, but I couldn't find any tangible document within which you can use to justify how you intend to deal with the challenges as highlighted in the department. And one of the critical areas was the area that is mentioned quite strongly, which is the area of monitoring. And within the establishment of the PMU unit, one of the key things is to strengthen the monitoring and evaluation aspect of the programs that have been approved and signed off by the accounting officer as received after the provinces have submitted their business plans. So we're trying to strengthen that aspect. But the unfortunate thing, Chair, is You can't just do these things without going through a particular process, and that's a requirement. You've got to justify through your strategy direction in terms of why in the first place you want to add additional responsibilities, which may call for a review of your structure, so as to focus your resources where they are most needed. I think that that's basically the fundamental background to it. We are at a stage of completing the process, Chair. I've been myself monitoring the progress directly because it's an area of my strategic responsibility as the accounting officer. We are now evaluating the existing structure and the positions that exist in the department in relation to our new mandate. We should then have to go as a required process as well to the DPSA, and as the chair has indicated from the portfolio, we are also trying to look into cost implications for it. We are trying to make sure that it doesn't become a highly bloated structure that could be very costly to manage. But at the same time, we want to make sure that the resources of the department are not just used anywhere where even it doesn't matter at all in terms of our new mandate. And that calls for a lot of things, because some of the skills that we have in the department are not relevant for the new mandate that we have. Some of the skills that we don't have, we need to bring inside the department in order to be able to make sure that our new mandate is realized. Failing which, we may not be able to deal with the challenges that have been highlighted within the sector. That's the vision of trying to get this turnaround, get a proper structure that will be able to deal effectively with the challenges that we're having at our disposal. It's unfortunate that the term for our principals, including the honorable members, is moving faster than the process of putting such things in place. But without these things in place, as an accounting officer, you'll be running like a headless chicken, not knowing what you're doing and why you do what you're doing without this process being in place. And that's an avoidance that I was trying to do from my side, if I were to speak for myself as the chief executive of the department. Without that in place, there's nothing that we can achieve. Actually, you may waste government money and continuously have challenges that will never be dealt with effectively, and that will affect your performance and the performance of the department, and obviously, and that of the government that you are serving. So that's a context within which we're trying to deal with this particular process. And I do accept from members that it has taken longer. It must come to closure. And Chair, all we wanted to bring to the portfolio committee was a complete package to you and to a presentation. As I'm saying, we are on the last leg of the process, and indeed we will be presenting to the portfolio committee about the outcome of this particular exercise, including the product of the new structure and the cost implications. We are going to do that definitely. It has taken longer than we expected. My due date was the end of July, but one key component had to be dealt with, which is the evaluation of the current jobs and what we need to have moving forward. The issue of Free State, Chair, as I indicated as well in the previous meeting, was that as a department, we are able to assess and monitor the expenditure patterns of all provinces. And when there is a situation that requires our attention, we do take the necessary steps. And amongst other things that we did was to inform National Treasury about the spark that took place in December as a department officially, to inform the DG that there is this situation we are observing, and also make our assumptions, because for as long as these assumptions, there is nothing that we can do in terms of what is happening. And I also had a conversation with him around the spark and gave him a background in terms of what has transpired during the transfer and what is currently happening in the system and what are our assumptions about what we think is happening in the system. That information was shared. And Chair, I must also indicate another step that we took was further to discuss this in our quarterly evaluation with the Office of the Auditor General. This was also an issue for discussion, and also the AG office requested that we provide them with all the in the Free State in the last financial year and currently, and also to make our assumptions about what could have possibly happened, which we also did, Chair, and we submitted that information to AG. I think that's what we have done, Chair, and we are not by all means trying to cover up for any wrongdoing that could be taking place on the ground. That's why each time we look into the system, we see things that are not normal, under normal circumstances of our performance financially. We take steps and report, and we write officially to the institutions that have referred to. The other challenge, which I think the honorable members must also take cognizance of in terms of the current arrangement, is this concurrent function. I think it does pose a certain element of challenge to us at a national level. I think that's the reality. All that you can do, Chair, is to put effective monitoring and evaluation systems in place, structurally and otherwise. But the most powerful provision that we have at our disposal is the one of the minister in particular being empowered to intervene where there is a non-performance in terms of DORA. I'm talking now in terms of the legal intervention. But in terms of the implementation on the ground, it's dependent solely on the structures at a provincial level to do that and for us to monitor from our systems. But strengthening...
Sorry, excuse me, Tichy. Can you, I just want to understand, if you could repeat what you were saying. I don't understand what you're saying. So.
From the last point that I'm making, Chair, is that once the business plans have been submitted by provinces and signed off, then we have a certificate which the accounting officer signs. The implementation of the business plans in terms of what they do on the ground is solely a responsibility of the provincial HODs and their respective MECs. So I'm trying to say administratively, the responsibility of implementing the business plans in terms of the grant that is received by them on their business plans is done by them. All that we do at national level is to monitor the implementation of the plans submitted to us. And then the intervention of the minister comes when there's non-performance on the basis of the submissions that have been made to us. So what we are trying to do with the establishment of the PMU at a national level is to strengthen our capacity at a national level. In the same breath, we have also instructed all provinces to establish units within them that will be linked into the national performance arrangement to make sure that you are able to monitor on an ongoing basis. So in other words, you don't wait until the end of the financial year, then you use your stick to either withdraw or transfer money. But continuous monitoring and evaluation takes place from the first day of implementation of the new budget for that particular financial year, together with the HODs. So what we intend to use is to use effectively the min-max structure, the technical min-max structure where all HODs sit, and the min-max structure to make sure that we do that. But the physical implementation is solely dependent and on the provincial. So I'm just trying to make that point. For example, I wouldn't know, sitting at national level, how Project A and B in a particular province is thoroughly implemented by the province. I don't have that direct. That is between the HOD and the MEC and the Portfolio Committee of Human Settlements at a provincial level to monitor that process. I think that distinction at times is important to be made, Chair, because it does pose a bit of a challenge at a national level if you don't have effective systems at your disposal to monitor what is happening on the ground. And this is where at times we find that, and I'm making an assumption here, Chair, which is a very important assumption, you'll find that some provinces then they use the monies intended for certain things to do other things, and you don't have a direct control of that. You can't have a direct control of for example, buying material instead of buying land or building houses as per the targets and per the business plan. So at times when you discover something as your monitoring exercise, something has already been done, but not appropriately. So it becomes a check and balance issue that you've got to make sure that the monitoring structure at a provincial level on the ground is more effective than even the one at a national level, because that's where implementation is physically taking place. So hence we are trying to use technical MINMEC, where all SODs sit together with myself and MINMEC structures to make sure that we make this a permanent arrangement. That's why in every technical MINMEC and MINMEC, our financial unit presents a report that reflects the expenditure and begin to question a few things in terms of the financial performance and where the monies are going as and when we meet at technical level as well as at MINMEC level.
You are going to establish, in fact we have already approved that you establish a PMU unit that is going to sit in your Pretoria offices, looking at the system using the computers. No, wait for me. Because the constitution has violated my concurrent function. E-monitoring. Because as far as I understand, concurrent function does not prevent national at a certain stage. I was born on the ground, whatever. Depending on the reports that we are receiving. Now you are complicating this thing if you want us to approve that you appoint the highly skilled people. And then they are going to, we have not said so, but in my mind, in my picture now, I could see that those people will sit around and then the provinces will, yes, the provinces have to appoint their own structures, monetary structures. They have to do it. Even the councillors now, they have to take the responsibility because they are the implementing agents for the program. But the point I want to drive here is that those people, you meet them in a technical MINMEC, you know what they bring there. They are a lot. But the report says, no, because the report. And then it means when you are going to be happy, oh, everything is happening. And then you come and report to us that everything is happening. And then the next day, we go there as the portfolio committee. And then we find these issues. And it's now when we got these issues, why not come to refer to the provinces? Unfortunately.
Sure.
Those issues that we found there on the ground, Tina, we're going to come straight. Who is the chief? Who minister? Put my account. I want to know. So, I understand the constitution is clear. Put me as the side, and there are these intergovernmental relations. So, in monitoring, I don't think that it's not monitoring and evaluation. In any sense, they would. Then, monitoring and evaluation. Strategy so that's better the PMU. Very ineffective. Conizindo, Hedway Guso, Isna Rabat. Conizindo is blocked in the Gagani project. But Kashu about by a follower every month. Why should we do that? Kashu about at national level and the ones who went to say this? That's the point. So, Moshi finds that happened. I want to leave the choice. So those are the crucial issues. Definitely class theatre, no theatre airway. Then I maybe emphasis as I was going to go in negative. Because now at the end of the day there's quite a negativity in terms of the constitution. And now what I was suggesting would left hand, or but if there are any, because we are policymakers at the same time, we are legislators at the same time. Now, what I would like to hear from the department is to assist. I mean, is to if you have you are raising this matter, and then you come up with a recommendation that could assist the accounting officer, because at the same time we are here to play a supportive role. So if you are raising this matter, I would appreciate if you bring the recommendation to us of how can we assist you to address this matter. Because if it means the constitution should be amended, we are there. We can talk to our principals and negotiate and negotiate if until they are convinced. But if we just say so without any recommendation, there is a problem, and we'll never get there. So I'm trying to say, when we are raising these issues, I wouldn't appreciate it. You come up with a proposal. But I don't think it's only proposal. There is an intergovernmental relations. There's a cooperative governance. There's a PMFA. So I think those issues, if they are not assisting, bring something to us so that we can work it out to assist you, all the accounting officers. Thank you.
No, Chair, thank you very much. I wanted to address it later at the, but I'll still do it. But that's still, I want to read a particular clause in the division of revenue. So I think I don't want to fall to what my colleague has said in terms of these functions. And it's clear, Shepherdson and colleagues, you know, for most of the time we have perhaps tended to also our side not to take our responsibilities in terms of doing a direct oversight over the provinces, because we leave it to provinces, we leave it to the NSOP to do to look at some of these what you call things, issues, challenges that need attention of all of us. And maybe this question that you're raising does need us to go back to that question in terms of saying, how do we ensure that we assist one another? Because you're quite right, PG, that if the department has failed, that's not the department that has failed. People will say, this government has failed. You know, all of us, they paint us with one brush that we have all failed. So it's important, therefore, that we must make it work. We must make it work. Nobody else but will make it work. If we fail here, then it means that we will really have failed our people there. But maybe we should leave it to what you call Shepherdson Sambuza has said, and then allow you to continue with your responses.
Thank you, Chair. I would then not take a risk of repeating what I was trying to say. I think I've heard the angle that my chair is raising, and I agree with both chairs. I would not proceed on this until and take it in the spirit that the chair is raising. Chair, I will then ask my colleagues to respond to some specific issues that have been raised in relation to the presentation, having dealt with only those two issues for your consumption.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Some of the concerns, I will leave them for my acting CFO, particularly on the figures. But I think I need to indicate that the business plan, particularly to Honorable Stein, in terms of the figures that are not actually matching the deliveries, we have, as a department, actually realized that anomaly. However, we've gone far beyond that to check the business plan, what it entails. And we've also picked up very strongly that there are some other elements, we call them milestones, that actually are costed and planned for by provinces in the business plan that support the development of the construction of a house or a human settlement, to say. And we went further to estimate how much roughly they take from the, say, 14 billion for this financial year. And last year, at the most, it was 22% of the 15 billion that we had. So now we have actually developed a strategy for provinces to report particularly on those, just so that we know where the money has gone to and it aligns to the delivery. Because we would normally go to come to the committee and indicate the sites as well as the houses. And obviously the money to that will be around about 84% of the budget, and it will not tally to the 100% of the grant. So that kind of strategy was adopted, and we have planned our provincial visits, which is a quarter, that will actually be undertaken by different units. Particularly the planning will also lead, because the business plan is within that unit. So what would actually indicate that is this kind of a forum of some sort to say, what you've indicated to us is this kind of figure. And then the following day, we will not sit around the boardroom as we normally do, and go to those sites where they indicated that they have achieved those achievements. So we planned that in the previous financial year, but however, like I say, we've gone beyond our normal monitoring strategies in support of the monitoring and in support of the PMU, of course. We will do that. And I think it's very much important to indicate that that even in our normal mini-top, we will indicate such, because the minister obviously has an interest in where the other percentage of the money is going. And then I think in terms of the 26 million chairperson, and which I think Mr. Mbembe will also elaborate particularly on the figures, we are aware that we have omitted, but it's not omitted per se. In our slides, we indicated all adjustments, but we did not make a breakdown of how the other, because some of the monies we requested within the department, within the capacity of the Director General to approve the movement of funds within programs. We call them shift requirement. If they are set there, they go beyond a certain amount. We involve Treasury in terms of approving that. However, if it's within, obviously, the capacity of the DG in terms of delegation, he approves it, but it gets within. But it is encompassed in our slides, but it's not actually broken down as the chairperson would have wanted to see it. And in terms of the E&E, and then Mr. Mbembe will talk to them. But I also want to indicate, Chair, giving the permission, that KZN did not lose 200 million. It was within our intention to take the 200 million. However, having had some engagements with KZN, we realized that we will actually tap into non-deliverables, because they had indicated that they had some other deliveries that had taken place and there were invoices that were coming forth. So we ended up taking 80 million from KZN. That was actually combined together with the 263 million from Free State, and it was split into the three provinces, and Eastern Cape being one of them, getting 39 million. And I think...
Yeah.
I want to say, and we know this, that there was unbelievable damage done on the ground in KwaZulu-Natal because of money, desperate shortage of housing, and yet money was taken away. Now, if that amount, and the amount that went out was 200 in, you know, all the publicity that happened, Was that rectified?
Through the chair, of course it was rectified, because like I said, we did not take 200 million. Yes, it was pronounced that it was going to be taken. However, having realized that there were issues on the ground that needed much attention as far as the funding is concerned, only 80 million could be taken from KZN. And as I indicated, that the provincial visits that we had planned actually forces us to go and see exactly, particularly on the issue of the disaster, to say most of the money was spent in January as the spike reflects. Just so that we are also comfortable as national to say much money was spent, and they indicated that only invoices came in January. What impact did they do, those invoices on the ground? So the kinds of provincial visits that we have planned are actually going to fall on us to say, when we come back to the committee to say we are very much comfortable to report to the committee to say there is delivery on the ground versus what the provinces have indicated in terms of spending. I also wanted to look at the issue of the entities. Yes, NETRA did not receive any allocation from the department in the previous financial year. However, due to the business case that they had given us, 100 million moving forward in overcome tax is allocated during in this financial year going forward. That's why we could not report an amount from NETRA in the previous financial year. And then I will leave the, okay, maybe I should also add it to the committee, emphasize slide 4. If I can refer members to the slide 4. Slide 4 here. Actually, it's not adjustment. Slide 16. It came out very strongly from the committee that there are some monies that have been spent, and I think it was also a confirmatory meeting, whereby we had indicated a quarterly amount that were transferred to the provinces. But there's also an element that there were some monies that the provinces, at the point in time from April last year up until December, did not spend. So those monies had to be spent, unfortunately, towards the end of the financial year. Hence the 312% and all those type of things. Yes, we do accept that it's a spike, but we have actually put some measures in place to determine moving forward in terms of the cash flow versus the
Just switch off your
you
mic.
You are provoking
us. Just switch off your mic. The name is, by the way, Ms. I don't understand. Unfortunately, I hear everyone now. You know, it's like you're opening a can of worms. Because...
Unnecessarily so.
You see, because to us, I think that what we want to do, let's conduct this meeting in a way that we'll go out still with our tensions okay. Because to us, the spike, it's not possible that, you say you recognize the spike, you go there, you find, is that what you're saying, that you see that the spike has what they call it translated into housing units, is it what you're saying? Is that what you were saying? I just want a direct answer now.
If I may respond.
Sure.
Chair, I think my earlier comment as far as KZN is concerned was that in terms of the...
No, sorry. You were talking about 312. Now, we understood the question of KZN intention to take away 200 but ending up with 80 million. We have accepted that. But now, we're talking about the spike now. And
that's why you said page 16. Let's go to page 16.
Yes. The Free State one. Actually, it's not only the Free State. Western Cape spent 216. Northwest 187. So now, what is this? KwaZulu Natal 190% that time. So
But what we say, we know, and we raised it the other day, that it is not possible that provinces can spend this money. They could not do it the first quarter, the second quarter, the third quarter, but they were able to do it the third quarter. And you are saying to us today, you have been there to see that this was housing units. What are you saying? That's why I want to be clear. I want to compile a very clear report.
Wait.
Sure, that's, yeah.
You monitor the provinces on quarterly basis, the performance. And then you are saying, first quarter, you observe that they are not performing well. Second quarter, you observe that they are performing well. And then you then tell us that there was a spike on the third quarter, which we have all observed. But eyona nto isprovoka yokuba uthi after the first quarter akho nto eniyenza because at the very first quarter because le mali kaloku ibhajethele iapproviwe ngokweeplans zakho andithi iplans sezivele zikhona sisi andithi maninike iiplans the moment bengadelivi according to plans by the first quarter, what do you do? Then the moment the Bonuti Iacoberegando about to leave according to their plan by the second quarter, would you go to the SR card here, sober in Minnek, even towards her end of December? At 2 minutes, I live in Togomeno Dichi. It told me mine. Spike. Then, kule nto yezi spike, iyathatha umusi lo ukuthi ufunda, this is an unfunded mandate, kwenziwa noba yintoni. Ngoba sisafuna nisixolise ukuthi i-Free State ngalaa mali, ithe nithekane nisalinde i-treasure. I-treasure izobuya izosinika i-report, both of you want to know what was purchased ngalaa mali, eza spike. As we call it stands. There are no stands. And yes, if we say it's a disgrace, because none in Ayans not only would it, they withdrew 17,000 units. They were farmer bazaar killed last year. So, we want to know who does a spike is a care as a zinfu. Now, if a sakanga is a zinfu, that were withdrawn.
Where did the money go?
Where did the money go? So, in the night, when you let for justification in my hands, spare the beans as they are. Yeah, we know that you still owe us that report for 50, together with the National Treasurer. Want it? You know, we are going to act this time. We have got all the ammunition. We are going to get, we can't, not at all. Not in members Kwazona, Zusapatala, or 100,000 tax. Those are taxpayers' money. Each one of us, we are paying tax. All of us here. If I may be a responsibility here to song, to ensure that taxpayers' monies are used appropriately. I'm not putting the pogile because the National Treasurer's Pusat, Pushelum, and Funimalenin. And then on Yum to Jimia, Uto Jimalayas, Gutuyan, then I'm going to add Tatun Dinao at because it's a woman called a tax. I is a woman. So please help us. Yes. Ningas in it, Chetus of anything is our defender, never protector, liberty. Instead of seeing the end of the world as parental. We command the reporting, we're going to put our comments. Now, Chaperson, I'm suggesting that let's pass through this thing. We are going to sit around as the portfolio committees both. We discuss these matters. We make our observations. We just make recommendations to Parliament. That's all. Otherwise, it's all Tony Lang. Thank
you. We are going to teach you with this thing, a compiled report.
Yes, teacher.
Chair, I was going to request, as I've indicated, with the submissions that we have made, that we submit a special report on Free State, so that we are able to provide you with factual information without defending. We are not here to defend by all means any province that is involved in any wrongdoing on the budget that we provide. We have, as a department, established the challenge with Free State in particular, and it's been raised, it's in writing. Maybe it might be appropriate that we give you a full report on that as the committees, so that we have that information at your disposal. I would like to make that recommendation, Chair, for portfolio committee, and take the responsibility of ensuring that report is presented to you as a recommendation, Chair.
Comrade Bonner.
Chairperson, I wonder if we could request that that is taken just a step further with these other spikes that we're looking at,
yeah.
You know, with the Western Cape.
Mm.
They're not small spikes, they're big spikes.
Yeah, big spikes.
And I think where there are major differences, if we could have a proper detailed report on why that is so.
Now, Honourable Steyn.
Thank you. I just want to raise something very quickly that I picked up reading through the other report. And that is, and it's of concern to us, but I think of particular concern to yourselves, and I'd like to hear what Treasury has to say. If you look at the background and if you look at the reports that's serving before us today, very few, if any, of the provinces, HODs, or provincial treasuries have signed off on these reports. Now, that is a regulation in terms of compliance. I mean, technically, I believe we shouldn't even be debating these reports, because the HODs of the provinces haven't put their names to it. You know, these things could very well change. I mean, they haven't endorsed what we're discussing and taking as gospel. Now, should these, from a Treasury point of view, should they even accept these reports if it hasn't been signed off by provincial Treasury or by an HOD of a department?
Now, but the difficulty is, Honourable Steyn, that was not what we call submitted by the department or even National Treasury, that these reports were not signed off by provinces. In fact, my understanding is that they can't accept the national. I mean, at the end of the day, the HODs have a responsibility to sign off the reports. If you look at the other report that is normally provided to NSOP, it is very clear that these reports are as signed off by the by the provincial HODs. Yes, you can clarify if you want, Honourable Reader. Can clarify.
Thank you, Chairperson. The Division of Revenue Act is quite clear on the roles of both the National Transferring Officer and the Receiving Officer. And in terms of the Division of Revenue Act and the BFMA, and I want to read this in the Division of Revenue Act, the provincial department as the Receiving Officer must, as part of Section 44C of the BFMA, and matters referred to in the Division of Revenue Act, report on a monthly basis on this grant. I mean, this is a Schedule 5 grant. The Schedule 5 grant is a specific purpose grant. It's one of the tightest grants we have in the Division of Revenue. The Division of Revenue Act. So the receiving officer must ensure that they comply with the requirements in the Act. And it's the duty of the transferring national officer before transferring the money that the receiving officer has complied. So I mean, that's quite clear both in the PSMA and in the DORA. You know, we have a lovely, the conditional grant framework for the Human Settlements Development Grant says that transfers to provinces will be contingent on their performance as assessed by reports submitted through the housing subsidy system for project management and program administration. This is an additional requirement on top of what is set out earlier on in DORA on the duties of the receiving officer and the requirements in the PFMA on reporting. We as the National Treasury will not accept a report from any of the provinces, and we will deal with it as non-compliance to the Act if the HOD hasn't signed off on it. that's quite clear in the legislation.
Honorable Chair.
Chair, having said that, I'm quoting for a report that we've been given here that says background in discussion. And if you look at the Eastern Cape, for example, on page 60.
Page?
60. And you can go to page 15 as well, which was the...
No, sorry, on our screen, let me get my report. Page 1.
You can go to page 15, you can go to page 16.
This under other report.
Yes, the background, under compliance. It clearly says that the signed off conditional grant report, in the case of the Free State, only the HOD signed. Provincial Treasury did not sign as required. If you go to Gauteng on page 17, the report was, however, not signed by the HOD and the Provincial Treasury
on page
required.
17,
which is Gauteng, which is the province with the biggest grant.
Yeah.
Now, you can run through this for every single province.
I saw it in Papua as well.
Well, that's what I mean. So
Now, you want to respond now? Let's give you.
Now, this is the real problem here that we have here, and this comes back to the oversight of the national department. Because if a province does not comply to the legislation, they start to withhold the money. And so the question is, why are we continuing to transfer money? Why is the national transferring officer continuing to transfer money when the provinces are not complying with the provision of the year?
My question is, why are we even debating it today?
No, you're right. Pichi, can you come to our rescue? What happened here? Honorable Stain is correct. No, you're right, Honorable Stain.
Chair, we're making reference to the last financial year. Am I right?
Now, what we are saying is that you gave us today this new report. In other words, with the details of your communication between yourself and the provinces. Now, you're reporting here on this report which province complied with the law, which province did not. Now it has been picked up by members that many provinces did not comply. Ms. Roida now has just quoted somewhere where, I mean, how what is supposed to be done with the transferring of this report. Now, this has not been complied with here. And I think correctly now, Honorable Stain is saying, are these reports valid? The status, questioning the status of this report in view of the fact that they have not been, what you call it, signed off.
So in the event there's been no a non-compliance, that becomes an audit query for that particular province. But our responsibility as the national department is to ensure that happens. But the closing of the budgets for the last financial year was done adequately with all provinces. So, but in terms of signing the reports as a requirement, as I'm saying, it becomes an audit query if all documents are reflected here, because some of the documents come without signatures, some of the documents come with signatures. So if all, if
TG,
some report...
TG, I'm sorry, TG. You know, you provided this additional report today, and this additional report, which we assume that is the latest report, it comes to us and says Province A did not comply. The report is not signed off. So we don't want to what the assumption, because that's where the problem is. Even with monitoring, is we assume this is supposed to have been done. But this report, whoever compiled this report, did good work, because this person is saying, this province did not comply. This province did not comply. So now, we really want to call. I think that we need to find a way forward. It's clear that this province is made. We should just start, honorable members, from the Eastern Cape. No? province submitted a signed off conditional grant report with only HOD's signature by due date. So in other words, if it says this to me, Ms. Rita, does it mean that the HOD of provincial treasury should have signed? Because on page 15 of this report, about Eastern Cape, the report on transfers amount owed to public entities and related have not been submitted. But the paragraph earlier says the report was, however, not signed by the provincial treasurer as required by law. That's what is said on page 15, it's about Eastern Cape.
I'm trying to find the act that, or the section in the legislation that kind of deals with the responsibilities of a provincial treasury, and I cannot see either in the conditional grant framework or in the Division of Revenue Act where provincial treasuries are required to sign off on expenditure and Schedule 5 allocation.
Okay. Will that be on the what you call on the PFMA?
No, it wouldn't be in the PFMA because it would be. In terms of Section 40 of the PFMA, it would be the HOD of the province that needs to sign off on the provincial department that would have to sign off on expenditure, not the provincial treasury. That will have to submit it to the provincial treasury. But it seems like there's no requirement on the provincial treasury to sign off on the expenditure of a Schedule 5 allocation.
Can I comment?
Who wants to comment?
Myself.
Okay.
This report is in respect of the month of March. These reports, which were signed or not signed, are in respect of the last month of the financial year. What happens is that every month, provinces submit reports to the national department, and these reports must come by the 15th of the following month. What sometimes happens is that the 15th will come, you will get a report from one province signed by the HOD, not signed by Treasury. The following month, you'll get a report signed by both parties. The signing by the provincial treasury is an arrangement which as a sector and treasury agreed on. Because sometimes a province will submit a report to the national department indicating a particular figure of expenditure for that month. But when they submit the same report to Treasury, it will go to Treasury with another figure, different from the figure we received. So what we then agreed on is...
I'm sorry. We don't want an internal arrangement. They are good, they assist, but sometimes they can't stand in law, in the court of law, because it's an internal arrangement. And it's difficult for anyone, for members of parliament to, or anyone of us, in fact, if tomorrow we're no longer in good terms, you can do nothing about it. But what is important is law. What is the law saying in terms of that, so that we know that this compliance is not done? When we say it's not done, what do we mean by that? That's why I'm saying we will give the National Treasury rest some time to go through or come back to this, so that we should understand this. But the other part that I would like to you were saying this report was issued at the end of March.
Yes, this report is not a report for the whole year. It's specifically for the month of March. When you read it, you will notice that it talks about the previous month and the current month.
No.
And it covers, it's the last. Is the report for the last month of the quarter. It talks to what happened for the end of March. which provinces complied in terms of the reports they submitted.
Yeah, but thank you. But what we requested with the DG is that this report to us is saying, it's written here, it's saying, them as a picture, it's saying, this was not complied with, this was not complied with. Now the DG is saying, the final report was complied with. That is what you say. And
one thing, Chair, for my understanding,
yes,
for the last financial year, you would have not gone to the stage if there was no, if there were compliance issues. So if there are reports that should have been signed, that would have been an audit query that would have been picked up either by the province or ourselves. If that has not happened,
I'm sorry, PG. Sorry. You see, we're not dealing with the audited report here, but we're dealing with a report that, in terms of Section 32, this is a Section 32 report that we're dealing with,
yes,
the quarterly report that we're dealing with. Now, it's a report that we're talking about. So what we want from yourself, from National Treasury, is a written, what you call a response, that comes to us and say exactly what happened, what should have happened, what happened. Ms. Rida, you hear what we say? Yeah. Because I think that it's very important that we are sure that we're dealing with the right documentation. For instance, in some areas, they say that the report was not signed off. Never mind that the HOD of the department signed off, but in some areas, there was no signing off altogether, which correctly means that the report is good as not having been submitted, because I mean nobody can take a responsibility for that. Person, if you take the HOD from that province, I did not submit any report, because there's no signature that the person submitted the report. So I agree with the members that we're not supposed to sign reports that can be queried. Especially with I don't understand with KwaZulu Natal say the report was, however, not signed by the HOD, and in fact that report was not signed. It's good as non-existent. The purpose is the same. Yes, the report was not signed by everybody.
There is a technical element. Why are these things not discussed at the technical level?
In fact, the Western Cape, page 24 says all the required reports have not been submitted to National Treasury. We don't understand what this means. You know, to the National Department, not National Treasury, to the National Department. We clearly don't understand what this means. See now, this is important, but Honorable
Chairperson, I think that it is very important that we understand exactly what the legislation is saying.
Yeah.
That's the one thing.
Sure.
The other thing, if what I hear the department say is that there are internal arrangements which are not really required by legislation, then perhaps if they need to submit that in a report, it needs to state that. So if the provincial treasury by legislation is not meant to submit a report, then they could then perhaps say that the provincial treasury has not submitted according to their internal arrangements, however they want to put that. But I think it needs to be clear, and I think we get back to what I said earlier. You know, these figures and the reports and that are not clear for us when we have to interrogate them.
Now, I think that that's what we said. That's why we said to National Treasury, it's clear, I mean, they should submit a report to us that would really clarify which reports who is supposed to sign there? Is it the HOD? Is there a requirement for provincial treasury to sign off?
In legislation that deals with the Department of the Provincial Treasury.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of Provincial Treasury, as part of the consolidated monthly expenditure report in terms of Section 52, will send a report to the National Treasury. There's no requirement on a Provincial Treasury to report to the transferring National Office of the Department. So there's no requirement on a Provincial Treasury to sign on an expenditure report to the National Department of Human Settlements on expenditure on the Human Settlements Development.
And that is, you say, it's Section 52.
It deals with the duties of the provincial treasuries in Section 29 of the Division of Revenue Act, and it cross references to Section 52 reports in the CFMA. So, I mean, I can read Section 29, subsection 4 of DORA, which is a provincial treasury must, as part of its consolidated monthly report in terms of Section 32 of the Public Finance Management Act, in a format determined by the National Treasury, report on actual transfers received by the provinces from national departments, actual expenditure on such allocations, and actual transfers made by the provinces to municipalities, and actual expenditure by municipalities on such allocations. So there's no requirement to report directly to the Department of Human Settlements, but they do report to the National Treasury on expenditure.
Tell us now. Can you just tell us why do we receive this type of a report? Now we are gone, as you can see it. Why should the department have to relate to this matter? Because here is the HOD and then the provincial treasurer. And I once attended the MINDEC. Let alone that I'm busy now. I don't know what to do. There's a board there. And they will show there that board the compliance by the province. And the provincial treasury signature there will see that it is ticked where it is not. Why are they doing it? If those signed reports are coming directly to the National Treasury, they don't go via them. Now, why there is a comment about this? Because if we can understand the issue of the HOD, because there's no report that can be proceeded to another level without being signed off. We can understand that. The HOD can do that. Maybe, I'm just maybe, together with his or her MEC. I don't know what is the standard there. But now, we are all agreeing that even then, some HODs, have not signed off their report. They were sending to the national department. So I think all of us here, we are caught between the rock. And it means Tina Soda, but we cannot solve. We need a third party to assist us in this one. For me, my understanding is that we cannot resolve this matter amongst ourselves. Because this is according to me. We rather see the last comment. Then we have to pass as a committee, we discuss this matter, we seek advices from the third party, we'll see where we're going to get the third party, and then we make a recommendation so that if there is something, a flaw, not necessarily a flaw, if there is an important omission in terms of the legislation, as challenges when the accounting officers are reporting to Parliament, those issues must be addressed. That is the intention.
Teacher?
Yes, thanks, Chair. I just wanted to clarify what I was trying to say about the audit query. I was saying that before the end of the financial year, before the closure is done, such issues get raised by National Treasury for my attention. And I was saying that this issue was never raised as an issue by National Treasury or the AG. So they don't close the books without that process being completed. So I was making an assumption, therefore. Chair, that this matter of compliance, and I'm still prepared that we come back to you with full information, is in relation to the internal arrangement within the department and the provinces, but not in terms of legislation. I was trying to say, Chair, would have not closed the financial year last year with National Treasury with this matter outstanding. So when it is said in compliance, it's in relation to the internal arrangement, not necessarily in relation to the existing legislation. So that's what I meant by saying the audit would have picked it up before they closed the books, and there are issues that they picked it up which I had to deal with directly with all provinces before they closed the last financial year. That's a context I was trying to give. But we can still come back to you, Chair, if you want us to come back on the matter. I wanted us to give that. My take for now, this is in the compliance, it's in relation to the internal arrangement, but not in relation to the legislation.
Thank you, Chairperson. We've been talking, but I just want to know whether there are any internal audit committees within the department and how far do they use the Office of the Accountant General, Freeman.
Another question, but just general, I think it's a general question that perhaps you'll have to respond to. But I think that on closing this one, I think we should agree with my co-chair here that we suspend the closure on this one. Because when we look at the number of legislation, the Division of Revenue, you're right, DG, it talks about compliance, but it does not indicate what this compliance is. I do suspect that it could be, Ms. Rida, in the Treasury regulations, the signing off and whatnot. This thing could be there. But what we're suggesting now is that you don't respond now on this matter. But in the next few days, we want a report in terms of exactly who is supposed to sign off. I've seen those, what you call it, other Section 32 reports from National Treasury. They say that they've been signed off by provincial treasuries. But I would also just using my own common sense, suppose that the HOD of the department, National Treasury, normally National Treasury rules deals with National Treasury and provincial treasuries. They don't necessarily deal with departments. So this report is not coming from National Treasury. It's coming from the department. So if then it's not signed off, it's between the departments, it's within the department.
Yeah.
So, but just for clarity's sake, please just respond together to us in terms of this. But we think that the real thing is that we depend on National Treasury and National Treasury's rules and regulations. That's what really guides us. But all the other, what they call it, and transferring responsibilities of transferring officers and what
you know,
they are all important to us. But it's on this matter, comrade, just on the signing off or what, when is it important or what, so that we don't necessarily say this report has no status. Actually, this is not a report that was officially submitted by yourselves to us. It's an appendage kind of a report, and we are told that it's a report that was compiled in April, I think for March, né? It means that you compiled it in April. So, but just to for our own protection, it's important that we close this matter. We're not going to close it now, but we're saying go back and just look at some internal regulations and so that we can have a proper closure and state and classify the report correctly. It must not look like this report, because for now it looks like the report was not signed off. I'm saying we're not closing it. We're requesting you to submit a report to us in the next today is Wednesday. by Wednesday next week. No. A written report. We're not inviting them. We say they must just submit a written report in National Chamber in consultation with yourself. Will submit that report to us. That's all that we're saying. We're not requesting you to come there for that. Okay. Are the questions all responded to? Mr. Chain is still having his question.
Okay, just on the Servcon one, Chair, the Servcon one, the closure is at an advanced stage, particularly in relation to the amounts that were budgeted for and that we allocated. However, I think the point that you wanted to know, is there going to be any amounts on the next budget? The issue is that we will know finality in the next month because we formally...
Mr. Chen, what are you responding to now?
The Servcon one.
Wow. Okay, all right. I don't want you to open things that we have not released.
No. What we're saying is that the amount that will be, if there's any amount budgeted for, it will be contingent on what the winding up costs will be for Servcon.
Now, respond in writing, because we don't want this the response. We want the closure of Servcon.
When it was.
We have paid taxes now, 34 million. You have paid other things now, but we want the closure.
The winding has already been closed. But if they are coming with the winding, millions for winding. Until when?
We want closure now to it. When is going to be that? Taking into account everything that you want to say. DJ, you listening? We want this report. Ne? That's only on the winding up of the final, what you call, the closure of the doors on Servcon. Though the need for Servcon is still out there. As for my province, I know that, and I think that all other...
Until arrangement.
The report shall be submitted to...
Okay.
The progress report on the closure circle shall be submitted to the committee.
The final report, not the progress report.
The progress and final report shall be submitted. We'll definitely do so, Chair.
Okay. Now, thanks. Any other?
Nothing.
Have all questions been responded to? You see, now the department, now the other department is like extension of that department. Now it's fine. Chairperson, you want to close?
No, thank you very much.
Do you want to? No, before you do that, sorry?
Oh, I'll say for now.
Yes, what are the questions, by the way?
That comes in general. internal audit.
Well, just you answer to one question. If the department has an internal audit committee, and then after that, you close now. You don't wind up. Okay, let's wind up. You do your final comments after that.
Yes, Chair, we do have internal audit committees, one for the department and one which is established in terms of PFMA within the department. Yes, we do. We also do have an internal audit structure which is made up of officials responsible for internal auditing of the work that we're doing.
Hey, what a long answer. I thought that you would say it does exist in terms of treasury, what you call a regulation, you know, because the other ones we're not really interested in on the internal what you call arrangement. Because with the treasury regulations, one, there's a certain format that we must be complied with. Well, if you've got other internal, so it's your internal arrangement, you want to make your work efficient, we can't what you call it, contest that.
Yes, we do, sir.
Thank you very much. You can see, close now.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thanks for the engagement. We will definitely make the submissions requested by the committee in writing for your comprehension, Chair, on the two issues that you have raised, and would like to thank the members for very effective engagement on the submission that you have made today. As a department, we are continuously also learning new things in terms of our responsibilities, in terms of our new mandate. We will also, Chair, in particular, submit our progress report to the portfolio committee with regard to turnaround strategy, which is a very important aspect of the work that we're doing, which I'm sure will also follow to your own agenda for your own understanding, because it does impact in the manner in which appropriations are done, and particularly with regard to some under expenditure that have occurred in the last financial year in terms of how we intend to do things moving forward. And we thank you for the time that you have given us to present the report to you for the second time. Thank you, Chief.
Well, thank you very much, Chief.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and honorable members, with your participation, and it was very fruitful and worthwhile. And we also thank the department for the information that has been brought forward to the committee. And we do believe that these issues that we don't you know, we don't understand the same way as the other parties do understand them. They are going to be ironed out. And Ryan said that if there are issues that we don't get each other real, nah, I don't see any need to proceed with such issues. What is important is to, because it is important to consult the relevant structures or the relevant institutions, so that when we finalize the issues, our consciences are all clear, because we are not here for us to serve our own interests.
Sure.
We are here to serve the interests of the citizens. So all of us, we are committed here. We have the commitment that we have made. So I do believe that if we are saying we keep on pointing fingers to one another, it's not going to assist us, and it's not going to take us anywhere. At the end of the day, we have never money, and we speak in one voice, so that those people that are on the ground should benefit from what we are doing here. So with those few words, I thank Andrew and the National Treasury Representative. We do appreciate your presence in our meeting, because you also assist us in some areas of policy matters. So everyone is appreciated. Otherwise, I'm turning over to each other.
Welcome back. Thank you very much. I think that you you have said it mouthful, but does the maybe emphasis could be made on the turnaround strategy? Clearly the issue of the turnaround strategy, members are feeling that it must be concluded at one stage or another. It can't prolong. So that at the end of the day, Parliament has a copy of that turnaround strategy. Secondly, is the issue of the conditional grants. I think that conditional grants, provinces get their provincial equitable share, but conditional grants are there to complement what already is there in the provinces, and therefore there are special conditions for conditional grants. There's no room for other strategies that provinces must go to strategic meetings and think about how to spend this. It's a conditional grant. It's given to Section 5 specific. If it is for housing, to do that, it's not for something else. So therefore, your monitoring as a national officer is important. It's not about the issues of concurrent functions mm-hmm. or what don't really apply on conditional grants. Mm-hmm. Everybody must comply. They accept it because they accept the conditions under which these resources are transferred to provinces. So there's no question of people having a second thought or what. And I think that that's all I just wanted to add to my colleague. Otherwise, thank you very much. Looking forward to receiving now those outstanding reports. You will be informed about now the report is ours. We'll get it from NCC now. That's where we're going to meet you. Thank you very much for coming. And other members, thank you. Mam Tim, Ngobulambile, we are invited here. Ngobulambile, kule plate ka chairperson.
This is
Tichi.
Okay.